Sunday of Epiphany, the first Sunday of January 2020. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole, I'm going to read as far as verse. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country by another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceeding angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." the Word of God. Thank you that you've given us your word. Please open our ears to hear what you've got to say and open our heart to be receptive and to be guided by this image that you've given us this morning. Amen. You're in agreement with me that the story of the Magi commands great admiration. How could people like them, that is to say, educated and foreigners, have been upset by the birth of the King of the Jews? What then happened for these Magi to undertake this long journey to bow down to the King of a foreign nation? In fact, it all started when they see a star in the sky of the Middle East that they have never seen before. What is this star? Think of this for a minute. The speciality of these people, these wise men, was the sky. They knew the sky by heart, the constellations, the planets, remarkable stars. And one night, while they observed the sky as usual, they saw a new star in the sky, which they know so well. That night, something new burst into the sky, which they knew. I say something new, because obviously for the Magi, this new star is not an unknown star. They know that this star is that of the King of the Jews who had just been born. We know that they know it because once they arrive in Jerusalem, they ask, "Where is the King of the Jews who has just been born?" Don't ask me how they know it, but they know it. The star is therefore new in a known space, but it's also new in a space deemed to be immutable. For the Magi and for us, the sky does not change. This new star in their sky shows them the opposite. This star shows them that the birth of the King of the Jews changes their skies, opens their sky. As I've said, the Magi were the specialists in the sky. They're so familiar with the sky that you could almost say that the sky was a part of their lives, a part of them. The appearance of this new star in their sky reveals to them that the King of the Jews changes what they thought was completely closed, immutable to them. This newly born king opens up the space of possibilities. The star is a revelation in the image of this great journey they're making to bow down to this king. This is extraordinary news. They could have been afraid, worried, and shut themselves up in their houses. On the contrary, they leave their homes so much that this news has upset them. The destination to give to this trip is no doubt for the Magi. The reason for it was to bow down to the King of the Jews. You must go to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish kingdom. It is not the star that leads them to Jerusalem, as we too often believe, they do not follow a star between their home and Jerusalem. The stars reappear only after their session with Herod to bring the Magi of Jerusalem to the child. Listen to verse 9. Once they heard the king, they left, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east moved before them until, having arrived above the place where the little child was, it stopped. This reappearance of the star caused them great joy. Finding on the way the star which brought them out of their home is a confirmation that they were on the right road. What an encouragement for them. The Magi's are not the only ones who have seen the King Star. The star is the birth of this new thing in our lives that pushes us out of our comfort zone, out of our homes, to go to God. As with this Magi, the star delights us when it reappears to guide us during our journey. But this star does not have to be always visible. It precedes us when we are caught in times of doubt, the hesitation sometimes to follow the path that leads us to the King. On the way to the King, is the star the only guide that the Magi have? Need to ask this question. See if the star was the only guide. This chapter is known as the interesting thing because there's a word of movement, and it was in the prophecy of Micah. They said the Lord was going to be born in Bethlehem. Herod saw the image of Bethlehem, but look again at the text. Surprisingly, the Magi are not led by the prophecy of Micah, that even if Herod does send the Magi to Bethlehem, the Magi do not fit into Herod's scenario, which consists of going to Bethlehem and finishing the treasure hunt. Listen to verse 8. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and take the, find the exact information about the little child, and when you find it, let me know so that I too will go and worship it myself." Even though it's believed that the Magi now have enough information with the prophecy to find the King of the Jews, the star reappears in the sky to precede them and stop above where the child was. At no time did the Magi follow the script of Herod and the prophecy. The text doesn't even tell us that they are going to Bethlehem. The star goes in front of them and stops over the child. It is clear and precise. If the author had wanted to tell us that the prophecy had directed them, the star would not have reappeared. The star reappears to take the Magi out of Herod's scenario so they do not believe that the prophecy is a prediction that we could use to guide us. The star reappears at a time when for them the path is blurring, it's being blurred when it splits. The wise men follow the star. They do not follow the prophecy of Micah. The star leads them to the child. The prophecy of Micah would lead them only to the town of Bethlehem. Prophecy of Micah is therefore ineffective in directing the Magi, but it's also ineffective for starting them. It is still incredible that the scribes are able to tell where Christ is to be born from what they read in the prophecies, and to remain entirely static when they hear these Magi come to Jerusalem to see the King of the Jews. All of Jerusalem and Herod are moved, but none of the Jews react. No Jews set themselves in motion to accompany the Magi to Bethlehem. The only one to, it's a bit funny, but the only one who reacts is Herod, but not to go to see, but to kill. We can see that the prophecies are useless for those who do not believe. Prophecies are also not used to direct those who seek the king. But then, what is the use of prophecy? You've noticed that in this chapter 2 of Matthew, the prophets are mentioned many times. The first time, we've just seen it, when Herod consults the scribes and the high priests to know where Christ was to be born. And in the next three times, it is says that the words of the prophet be fulfilled. The answer of this chapter to the question, what are the prophecies for? It's quite simple. The prophecies are there to tell us that they have been fulfilled. I say, let us be told, because someone had to tell us that they were accomplished before otherwise we could not have guessed it ourselves. Let's take an example. If Joseph goes to verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be now there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. If Joseph goes to Egypt to save the child from the threat of Herod, that is what the Lord said in a dream to Joseph. The prophecy reveals to us that in fact Joseph is leaving with the child so that the Lord can call his son out of Egypt. The prophecy therefore reveals to us that in fact Joseph is leaving with the child so that the Lord can call his son out of Egypt. Ifma is not the same thing. If Matthew had not written in his gospel that this word of the prophet was being fulfilled, we would not have guessed it. The link is not obvious. This observation inspires me to make two observations. A prophecy is a word spoken by someone at a point in history. The author of these words is sometimes the prophet himself, but often the Lord speaking through the prophet. When the prophecy is fulfilled, then it is the word of someone who is fulfilled. Whoever fulfills this word puts himself under this word, whether he likes it or not. Let us take an example. When Joseph flees to Egypt with the child, the prophecy, I called my son out of Egypt, can come true. Joseph testifies then that he is not alone in deciding what happens in his life or what happens to him, that he is not the master of his own story. While fleeing to Egypt, Joseph submitted himself to the word of the Lord. Likewise, when Matthew says that a prophecy comes true and we readers believe what he says, we also put ourselves under the word of another, that of Matthew. It is not we who decide for ourselves that such a word is fulfilled. We are invited to believe that the word of the Lord was fulfilled because another said it. Neither Joseph nor us have the prophetic word. It is he who has us. For Joseph, it is obvious. For us as the readers too, the prophetic word has this peculiarity. We cannot do anything with it. It escapes us, and we will always escape us because it is the word of another. The second observation is, to say that the fulfillment of the prophecy show that another story is coming. Let us take again the example of the prophecy, "I called my son out of Egypt." The first story is that of Joseph, who must save the child and therefore flee to Egypt and then return. This story is the one we all know. This is our story. The other story is the story of the one who calls his son out of Egypt. It is also the story of Rachel, who mourns her children in the second prophecy. We can see that for those who believe, another story opens. It is not other events, but another look at, another interpretation of the same events. The second story is woven, knitted, interwoven with the first story, and it is different. For this new year which is beginning, it should encourage us. Our story splits from another. It is also our story, but submitted to the Lord. This allows us to change our perspective on the events of our first history, especially when those events are difficult to live through. The fulfillment of the prophecy makes us discover that this other story exists. And in this story, the Son, the King of the Jews, Jesus, comes to us. It is clear that for Herod there was no second story. There is no second story because he does not believe. The proof is that he thinks that the King of the Jews, before whom the Magi want to bow down, is a threat to his own throne, to his own reign. They believe that the Magi came to see a competing king who would eject his family from the Judean throne. He did not understand that the Magi came to see, in fact, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. And this king is not in competition with him. The birth of Jesus inaugurates a new kingdom, a second story for us. The Gospels and the New Testament will not stop announcing the coming of this kingdom. at the beginning of the next chapter, that is to say from the third chapter of the New Testament in Matthew, John the Baptist shouted in the desert saying, "Convert, because the kingdom of heaven is coming. If the kingdom has come, it is because his king is at our doorstep, ready to reign over our second life." Let's open the door for him, like the Magi did in their time. The Lord says in Revelation 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says the Lord. If someone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and I will sup with him and he with me." In the hope of the coming of the kingdom of heaven in our lives, I wish everyone a very happy new year in 2020. Amen. Thank you for leaving us the testimony of the Magi who saw the story in the sky, the star in the sky. Lord, let us not be frightened to be guided by the star in the sky. Give us the force to take the example of these Magi, of the sign that you give us. Give us the strength to change and the signs to change in our lives, to give us the force and the strength to follow you. Thank you for giving us this prophecy, not to replace the signs, but to help us to be led by you towards your glory, towards the glory that you offer us. Our life is sometimes difficult. Give us the strength not to fall into the temptation to live far from you, but to give us the strength. We don't understand sometimes the things that we arrive at, but give us the strength to look at our first history and to start our second history, our second story with you, for you. Thank you for knocking at our door and for your desire to live with us. Help us to live with you. Give us the strength to give you the place in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.